Hi, this is Shepard Ferry, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. This is People Powered Radio.
And welcome to Arts in Review, KPFK's show that celebrates live theater in the greater Los Angeles area. I am your host, Julio Martinez, and today we're going to be focusing on a gem of a stage, the Fountain Theater, their new artistic director, and the West Coast premiere he's going to be directing. So please stay tuned to Arts in Review. Hi, this is your host, Julio Martinez, and today I have the pleasure of talking to the new artistic director of the Fountain Theater, Mr. Raymond O. Caldwell, who's getting right in the action, directing the West Coast premiere of Fly Me to the Sun. Are you with us, Mr. Caldwell?
I am. Hello. Are you there?
I am here. Yes, sir.
It's great to be with you today.
Yes. And you were born in one of my favorite cities. Wiesbaden used to be a place where the Romans went to bathe.
Yeah, I was born in Wiesbaden, and then my mother moved down to southern Germany, and so lived in both Stuttgart and then with my dad at moments in South Florida. So, yeah, from a lot of places.
Yeah, I was just suspecting if you moved around so much, you must have been a military child, were you?
Yeah, my father was in the military. My mother was, and has always lived in Germany, but my father was in the military. And so, yeah, I was born in Germany and then got to spend a lot of time in both places.
Well, I've looked at your credits, and you've been all over the world, sir.
I can't sit still, as my grandmother would say. I have ants in my pants.
So I've been familiar with the Fountain Theater since way before it was the Fountain Theater. How did the you guys unite?
Yeah, you know, when I first moved to Los Angeles, I had I just stepped down from a company that I was leading in Washington, D.C., and I told my friends and the community, you know, I wanted some time away. And then shortly after I moved to L.A., Stephen announced that he was going to be retiring. And you know, the Fountain has, as you know, a really rich, long history of developing cutting work. And so when he decided that he was going to step down, I threw my hat in the ring and had great conversations with the board and the staff. And so, yeah, that's totally how I got here.
Now, I know you administer the theater. Is this the first play you're directing at the theater?
This is. It's great that I got to plan this season in our transition. And so all of the shows within the season I've planned, but this is the first show that I am officially directing, and it's my first show at the Fountain. So I'm so excited.
I'm very intrigued by it. It's a play that asks, what do you get when you mix two young American brothers with one Salvadorian abuela, one late-night talk show, and what somewhat tarnished American dream? This sounds like quite a mix.
It absolutely is. And you know, it's one of the reasons that I love it. It's a story that is so culturally rich and exists at the intersection of so many places. It exists at the intersection of generations, because you watch these young boys and their relationship with their grandmother. But it also exists at the intersection of cultures. What is it to be American? What is it to be Salvadoran? And what is it to be torn between those two places? So it's really a beautiful story, and it's quite touching.
Now, according to this, you guys open tomorrow night. Is that correct?
We do. So we've been in previews all this week.
Since this is a new play, when you first got in front of an audience, were you surprised where the laughs were and weren't?
Yeah, you know, so I am really spoiled in this. Brian Quijada and I got to develop this at First Stage in Virginia a few years back as part of their Logan Festival. And so it was a piece that I knew and I loved early on. And so when I arrived at the Fountain, you know, one of the things that the Fountain has always done was develop work. And so we asked Brian, I asked Brian to continue developing the play. And so it's been nice to watch it grow over time and to see where the laughs continue to go and grow. So yeah, I'm constantly surprised by it. And it's going to be different with every single audience.
I should have mentioned this up front. It is written by a two-time Jeff Award winner and two-time Drama Desk nominated playwright Brian Quijada, and features beats and remixes by Marvin Quijada and Brian Quijada.
Yeah, the Quijadas are really quite brilliant. You know, when we were developing it as part of the Logan Festival, Brian asked Marvin to come join us and develop some of the music in that relationship. The play is about two brothers. And so to watch these two brothers literally play together was a beautiful backdrop for the play and taught me so much as a director. So it's been really lovely. You know, Brian unfortunately can't be with us. He was planning on being here actually this week, but he is currently about to open a show right off Broadway called Mexodus. But Brian has, of course, we have Marvin. He can't be here, Marvin can. And so Marvin has been here this last week. And so it's just been really lovely.
Well, Brian's rather busy.
He is indeed, and he's quite a talent, and I'm so excited for LA to actually hear his voice and see this show, because I think it is so special and so unique.
So the cast of the show, it features the two brothers. It stars Geraldo Navarro and Noah Cervantes. Is there anyone else in the cast?
It is, and there is a surprise character that that you have to come and see that we are not naming, but there is an abuelita that shows up. So yeah, Gerardo and Noé are absolutely brilliant. And I'm so excited for audiences to continue to watch them weave magic on our stage and in our space. They're absolutely captivating. And when you throw in the third mystery character that you'll have to come and check out, the three of them work together beautifully. And so, yeah, I'm excited for this cast.
So it opens tomorrow night. It plays Fridays, Saturdays, and Mondays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m. There's one Saturday matinee on October 11th at 2 p.m. And are there any Spanish language shows?
Yes, we are very specifically and purposefully having a host of like very special performances. So of course, all of our previews, including tonight's preview, is pay what you will. We're going to have a Latine Affinity Night on September 12th. And then all of our performances, we have performances in Spanish on September 14th, September 28th, October 4th, and October 5th. And if you visit our website, you can see the times for those performances. And then finally, we're having intergenerational matinees October 2nd and October 9th. So a lot of really special performances, because we want to be sure that the Latine community comes in and feels welcomed. And we also want to be sure that we are navigating intergenerational relationships and creating spaces for intergenerational conversation. So we're excited for that, and we're excited for all of our programming. And then the other thing I want to point out and share with everyone is that after every single show, audiences are invited upstairs to eat pupusas. Pupusas are the national dish of El Salvador, if you don't know. And they're invited to eat pupusas and tell stories about their grandmothers.
Oh my goodness.
So we want to build a community-rich space.
And to get tickets, you can go to fountaintheater.com, or you can call 323-663-1525. So now that you're getting ready for opening night, are you also planning out the rest of the season for the Fountain?
Yeah, we actually have a really exciting season ahead. So the next show that we're doing is another show that I will be directing. And it's a really special show for me because it is a play that I developed with Adrian Torf about June Jordan, the poet, scholar, activist. I absolutely was so inspired by June and her voice. And so a few years ago, we wrote this piece that became an award-winning piece that toured throughout Washington, D.C. And so I'm so excited to premiere it here in L.A. next, and really celebrate an icon that I think folks have forgotten to talk about.
When approximately will that open?
Yeah, so Poetry for the People, the June Jordan experience, is going to be also really special because not only is there going to be a run here in Los Angeles, but there's also going to be a run in up in Berkeley in San Francisco.
Oh,
So
gosh.
Poetry for the People will run here in LA, the end of October, October 29th through about December 14th, and then it'll tour up to Berkeley and have a tour up in San Francisco in February.
You're going to be rather busy.
I know. And then on top of that, we're already planning our next season. Here at the Fountain, we are on a calendar season.
I
And
know.
so we are very quickly planning our next season. And this is how do you stand on the shoulders of 35 years of amazing theater history and a legacy that has transformed Los Angeles? And so the conversations that we have. That we are currently having, and the pieces that we are planning, I'm so excited about because it's going to be another exciting season for us.
Are you going to have a show for the holidays?
We will have a show running during the holidays, is what I will say. The thing that we're really working on here at the Fountain, we have a real the benefit of having a space. And so we not only program flamenco, we not only do theater, but we also want to begin expanding into music and other forms of entertainment because we think that our space is just one, so unique. And two, I think the intimacy is actually what we need right now. We need to be together around art, having conversations. And so I'm looking forward to next season as well because we're really expanding our programming and thinking of ourselves as a real cultural epicenter. Here in East Hollywood.
Now, the Fountain Theater does not have a standing ensemble. So you are casting completely new each play, right?
And I'm excited because actually, at the today is Friday, sometime today or early Monday, we are going to be doing a casting call for the next show, Poetry for the People. And so, I am excited to begin and to continue working with really amazing LA-based talent. Both Gerardo and Noé are here in LA, based here in LA, and I think that the field is just so rich. So I'm excited to play with LA artists.
I bet. Now, do you have works of your own that you're thinking of bringing into the mix?
So, Poetry for the People is, I think, an entry into that. The Fountain has a really amazing history and legacy of that as well. Stephen premiered a lot of really transformative work here. And so, yeah, there are a number of pieces that I am working on. One of the pieces that I'm really excited about is a piece called Filipinos in Space. I am Filipino, as of all the things that I am also Filipino. And I am so proud to be Filipino. And so the play actually is a play that is set in space, and a space crew stumbles upon a Balakbayan box, which are these boxes that are sent back between the Philippines and the United States. And it's a play that teaches us about the amazing history and culture that comes from the Philippines. So, yeah, I look forward to celebrating a lot of work and creating a lot of new work, and also creating space for new work. So, yeah, really excited.
Usually the second half of the show, I like to talk about where you all came from. How did you get involved in the performing arts?
That's so funny. I was always a kid that loved to play alone and by myself. It's wild because I have about a dozen siblings. And
You're kidding.
of my, oh no. Yeah, we are a blended and mixed family. And so we always had lots of people around. I also have a very large extended family. I grew up a lot with my cousins here in Southern California. A lot of my Filipino family lives in Oxnard. So yeah, I grew up like with a lot of people, but loving to play alone. I liked to read, and I loved to go into my own imagination. And so I spent a lot of time in imaginative places and in books. And slowly I started gravitating towards theater because I thought it was a really transformative space. I loved that people had to gather together to experience a story. And so the theater bug bit, and I originally, you know, thought I was going to be an actor. And then one day, one of my acting teachers, as I was on a national tour, was like, Raymond, you know, you're a really brilliant director and you really love doing that. Why don't you do that? And so then I started directing and writing and yeah, so then, and here I am, I suppose.
Where did you study?
Undergrad, I went to the University of Florida. I got a BFA in acting, and then eventually, you know, went out on the road and did the acting thing and did a couple of tours and really got a lot of amazing mentors.
What was your first paying job? What character?
It is a real embarrassment of riches. My very first paid gig as an actor was a national tour of Antezaki Shange's play Lavender Lizards and Lilac Landmines, Layla's Dream.
Oh my goodness.
I was all of like 20 years old and bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and here was a mentor of mine teaching me now, or who would rather become a mentor of mine through the process, teaching me about the purpose of art and why we make plays. Antezaki is actually why I wanted to end up going to grad school, because I realized and I learned from her that I needed to know more, you know? And so I then went to the Ohio State. You have to say the, I learned while there, when you say the Ohio State. And I got an MFA in new play development and collaborative playmaking and acting. And that was what really steeped my work in community and using art as a tool for transformation and engagement.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Ohio State. I went to the University of Michigan.
Ah! Oh, that little school up north.
That little school up north, right. I was in the marching band.
Oh, that's amazing. And what a good marching band they have.
Oh, yes.
And they can't play football, so I suppose they have to have a good marching band.
Oh, so they all say, yes. So, what's the first stage that you became an artistic director of?
Oh, yeah, that's really special for me. You know, the first leadership position that I held was at Theater Alliance in Washington, D.C. Before that, I was a professor. I was a professor at Howard University for a number of years. And I was thinking about what leadership looked like and how to lead a company steeped in community. And when Theater Alliance became available as a leadership opportunity, I took it and I had an amazing time and learned so much about myself and the type of organization I want to build. So, yeah, Theater Alliance in Washington, D.C. will always hold a huge, huge place in my heart.
But you certainly don't mind traveling. You've been around to many spaces.
I have. I told you I have ants in my pants. I can't sit still. Yeah, I, you know, after I also spent some time working at Arena Stage. And when I worked at Arena Stage, I collaborated with the State Department to build and develop programming that used art as a tool of soft diplomacy internationally. And so those relationships, after I left Arena Stage, I continued to foster those relationships and soon began building programming on my own with a number of organizations all around the world. So I've been really honored to go to travel all throughout India, to travel throughout Africa and Asia, and develop work with communities using theater and theater games to synthesize greater conversations about how we move forward and how we connect. So a lot of that work has been around gender-based violence, has been around LGBTQ plus issues, has been about equity, inclusion, diversity, and accessibility. I've loved traveling the world and purposefully being a global citizen.
Well, now that you're at the Fountain Theater, are you going to conduct workshops at the theater?
Yeah, you know, one of the very first things I did when I took over as a leader is I held a community night. And during that community night, I just wanted to create a space for us to have conversations about the state of the world. I wanted to hear where my community members were, and use the tools that I've been using all around the world to synthesize conversation and progress here. That is a major part of not only the work we're planning for the rest of the season. Poetry for the People is about activism. And June used her voice and her platform for activism for those who were not being heard. And I think that is the purpose of art. And so, we'll continue to do that type of work. And that's the legacy that I am a part of. That's what the Fountain has been doing. And so I look forward to just building upon that.
Well, when I first started working at the Fountain, they introduced flamenco because one of the artistic directors was a big fan of flamenco. Is that continuing at the Fountain?
Absolutely. You know, in very real ways, I'm sad that I never met Deborah, who is one of our other artistic directors. It's so interesting the way the universe works, because so many of the things that Deborah was passionate about, I now am so passionate about. I had so much in common, and I have so much in common with Stephen, and it's so nice to be learning how much I have in common with Deborah. Deborah's love of flamenco, we will continue. That is a part of our legacy. Deborah's name is on our theater, and we will continue flamenco. We will be the home for flamenco. I'm also really excited to expand our global dance canon. I learned, you know, I was at a staff meeting, and I said I wanted to bring classical Indian dance. And one of my staff members said, Deb absolutely loved classical Indian dance. She would love that. So we will continue to expand our dance canon and all of our programming.
And I'm glad to see that my old friend Stephen Sachs hasn't just retired. Hasn't he gone back to New York to work?
Stephen is everywhere, and rightfully so. You know, it's been so delightful in the transition, because Stephen and I have had some very frank conversations, and you know, being a theater leader, I think, and anyone can attest to this who is leading a company right now, it's really hard. It's the thing that wakes you up, and it's the thing that you stress about, and it brings you the biggest joys and the biggest heartbreak simultaneously. And so after doing that for 35 years and building what is just a phenomenal organization, I am so glad that he is getting the opportunity to rest. and so he is resting. I know that he is also traveling, and I also know that he is writing. And Stephen is an amazing, amazing writer. His play Bakersfield Mist actually is one of the very first, my very first introduction to him. And I was so deeply inspired with him. And so I'm so excited that he has that space to write now and to build the work that he wants to build.
Yeah, when Bakersfield Mist came out, I was a theater critic for Daily Variety, and I got to review the play. It was such a pleasure.
Yeah. What a phenomenal play, and I think that, you know, it does the thing that the Fountain is known for, and I am so excited to be a part of, and it's that getting to the heart of the human experience. What do we share, and how do we build empathy for people who sometimes we forget about or don't think about? It's a beautiful legacy to be a part of.
So the theater season at Fountain, do you go yearly? Does the season begin the beginning of the year, or does it start in the fall?
It does begin the beginning of the year. It'll begin in January. And so we are really excited that as we are in Poetry for the People, we will begin sharing out. And part of our end of year is sharing out what our next season is. We have a really big, exciting season planned. And so, yeah, look out for more details about our next season. And this is how, you know, we're celebrating 35 years. And so as we celebrate 35 years, our season is inspired by just that. So I look forward to a real homecoming in ways.
And I want to remind everyone, the current play that we've been talking about is going to be running for a while. So if you want to go, you can go to www.fountaintheater.com or you can call 323-663-1525. The Fountain Theater is located at 5060 Fountain Avenue in Los Angeles. That's Fountain at Normandy, right on the east end of Hollywood. And am I correct? It's running, the play's running through October the 11th, right?
Right, right. We actually run through October 12th. So come check us out. Yeah, come check us out. And I'm so excited for this play. It's so much fun and there's so much heart.
I want to remind everyone that following Arts and Review is Pacifica Performance Showcase, hosted by my producer, Donna Walker. And her guest today is singer Levance Colley. And she's talking about Musique's Made in Memphis, a tribute to Stax Records. That coming in about 5 minutes. So please stay tuned to Arts and Review. I want to thank you, sir. You've been a great guest.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for having me. I love running my mouth.
Oh, that's really good. So, are you going to hold? Are you going to have any directing classes?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. You know, one of the things that I'm really excited to do is we have a directing fellowship that is named for Simon Levy, who is one of our brilliant producers, who is a brilliant director in his own right. And so I am really excited to begin bringing early career directors into our space and creating a space for learning and collaboration in that way. So absolutely.
Oh, that is great. I want to thank you for being here. This is your host, Julio Martinez. My guest has been Raymond O. Caldwell, who now is the new artistic director of the Fountain Theater. And we hope you'll be there for many years ahead.
Thanks.
Thank you. And as I said, please stay tuned to Arts and Review. Please stay tuned to KPFK to listen to Pacifica Performance Showcase upcoming. I want to thank you, sir, for spending this half hour with me.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
And I'll be seeing you soon. You take
Indeed.
Care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
And for Arts and Review, this is your host, Julio Martinez. Please stay tuned to Pacifica Performance Showcase.